This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. Screen Time.
And talk movies, and welcome to the airwaves. William Mullally, who's our movie critic on the show. William, I've got a confession. This afternoon, I was in the company of Alfred Hitchcock and Jimmy Stewart.
Yes,
you can do it far better than I can. And watch Rear Window. What a great film. You were spot on.
Yeah, I was begging you to watch it. And I don't do that unless I know for sure you're going to like it. And I think my track record is still perfect in that regard.
It is. There was one that you sent me along to at the cinema that I didn't quite like. And it was starring one of my favorite actors as well, whose name escapes me at the moment. And
yeah, you don't forget that was Midnight Special.
Okay.
But I hadn't seen it.
Oh, right.
I just said, you love this actor, he has a new movie coming out, and you went and saw it. But you've never forgiven me for that.
No, I haven't.
But yes, I learned that I should not recommend a movie to you that I haven't seen.
But I'll tell you now, you've redeemed yourself with Rear Window. Brilliant stuff. And I did spot Alfred Hitchcock's cameo as well. He was in a room with the guy playing the piano in one of the apartments, and he was just like either adjusting or cleaning the clock.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the funnest part, because you'll forget, because you're so engrossed in the story, and then all of a sudden, he just knows exactly when to put himself in there. He had a great sense of humor. Anyways, I think that's the most underrated aspect of him. He was a very funny, dryly witty guy.
Right, and I suppose that comes across in his movies, doesn't it? Because there is humor, of course, in this film, even though basically it's about a murder.
Yeah, and I think comedy and thriller are both about timing.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so thanks for that recommendation, William. We like to focus on people that were born this day and take a look at their career. Now, yesterday and today, we've got two real kind of heavyweights, not literally, but big names in the world of the movies. And born yesterday in 1925 was a guy called Bernard Schwartz, better known as Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis, who sadly passed away at the age of 85 10 years ago, so did not make it to what would have been his 95th birthday. But really, he turned in some amazing stuff throughout his career and was able to pull off, you know, many different genres, was able to pull off, you know, the perfect hero in certain films, but also was, I think, even better when he was not, when he was someone who you couldn't help but like, but might have been a bit off-kilter or even unlikable in certain situations. My favorite of his films was co-starring the great Burt Lancaster in The Sweet Smell of Success, made in 1957, but much like the Hitchcock film I just asked you to watch, holds up perfectly to today. And he plays there basically a publicist. He's a PR guy who is down on his luck and is begging the number one columnist in the time, because historically it was true at the time that the columnists ruled everything at the time. There were just a few of them for the major papers, and everyone was begging to be in their gossip columns. And so it's loosely based on an actual history, but he is just this very amoral, very cynical, very selfish guy, begging to get his clients portrayed the way he wants them to, being manipulated by Burt Lancaster, who's an equally unlikable character, and things do not go well for him. But it's just thrilling to watch the entire time, and knowing how much, you know, in my line of work, publicity and, you know, journalism comes into play, I do think that there's a lot that still feel relevant, and maybe even too relevant for people out there in those professions.
Now, you said that he could pull off loads of different genres, you know, in Western swashbuckling kind of movies, and also comedy, and probably one of his most famous ones is Some Like It Hot, which he starred alongside Marilyn Monroe. And here is Tony Curtis talking about being cast on this film.
Well, I was thrilled. You know, I wanted to talk to these guys. I wanted to be with Willie Wyler and all those outstanding film directors, you know. Not that the directors I was working with weren't any good, but they didn't have a flair. They didn't have a touch for the material. So I go see Billy at Harold's house. He pulls me in a room. He said, I'm going to make a movie of two guys that have to dress up as women because they see a murder, and they join a girls' band. I'm getting Frank Sinatra and you and Mitzi Gaynor. I said, anything you say, sir. About a week later, he called me. He says, I'm changing it. It's going to be you, Jack Lemmon, who I saw in a movie and I think he's excellent, and Marilyn Monroe, were it possible to get her, because she was very elusive and in a lot of trouble Moshe, this was 57, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. Those were difficult years for Meryl, starting around 56. Mm-hmm. You know, her personal life overwhelmed her career.
Yeah.
There were more shots of her coming in and out of hospitals, courtrooms, crying. You know, that's what made Marilyn so vulnerable, and people loved her for that because she allowed them to see that.
Tony Curtis then talking about that film, Some Like It Hot. I didn't realize that Sinatra had been in the running for that in the early part of, you know, talks on this film.
Yeah, Sinatra was hogging a lot of screen time at the time. I was never really a fan of Sinatra the actor as much as Sinatra the musician, obviously,
yeah.
is unparalleled. But really, I do think that we were so much better off for having Jack Lemmon in that role and Tony Curtis, because their comedic timing off of each other, their, you know, just basic banter and relationship, really, I think people can still learn from it today and how funny those two were together. And I think Jack is someone who, for his comedy and his relationship, his long relationship with Billy Wilder, probably gets more credit. But Tony, man, he was really something else.
Now, I want to move on to a film that I remember watching with my dad, and it gave me the shivers. He was so good in this film. And your home city, of course, was the backdrop for it, The Boston Strangler.
Mm-hmm. 13 Women opened the willing... Why did the tagline...
Opened the door, yeah.
13 Women's opened their door, and this is the story behind it. And really, I think we'd seen him in, you know, semi-negative roles, unlikable roles, but we'd never really seen him as anything as dark as the Boston Strangler himself, opposite, you know, Henry Fonda
yeah.
at the time. But really, I think it was a game changer for him as an actor, and also, you know, just filmmaking in general. It really opened actors, traditional leading men, up to different sorts of roles, as he was, you know, nominated for a Golden Globe for his performance at the time. But I don't think that it really gets talked about enough now. It did get good reviews, but people seem to have forgotten it. And I think a lot of his later films don't really get the same reaction to people today as some of his earlier films that people still go back to over and over again, despite the fact that, you know, those ones are in black and white. He's made a lot of really interesting films later in his career. One that I really liked was Insignificance from Nicholas Roeg, the, you know, outsider British director who did, you know, horror films, as well as, you know, the horrible kid, horrible in a good way, horrifying, I should say, kids adaptation of The Witches that came in 1990. But this one in 1985 was just a fascinating adaptation of a play in which there are four figures, none of whom are named, just sit there and have a conversation. They're called the actress, the senator, the ball player, and the professor, but they are, in fact, Marilyn Monroe, Joseph McCarthy, Joe DiMaggio, and Albert Einstein. Really, really fascinating and slept-on movie that I really, with Tony as the senator, Joseph McCarthy, turns in excellent work.
Houdini is another one as well that we must mention, of course, playing the famous escapologist. That was 1953.
Yeah, really. I mean, I think he had that effortless, you know, good looks and charm that he was able to pull off, you know, those great leading man roles of that time, but he definitely was able to elevate them because he was, you know, more than just a pretty face, you can say. And he was able to, I think, imbue each role with, you know, the multifacets of his own personality.
Now, talking of good looks, we shall move on from Mr. Curtis to a beautiful lady, often has been described as perhaps the most beautiful in the world, who was born today in 1975, father being a very famous actor in John Voight. She is Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I do think just calling her beautiful, although it is an important part of her her career, her mystique, the reason that she's covered the way that she is, and maybe in some part her staying power. She's a fascinating figure who has used those good looks to fascinating ends. You know, earlier in her career, she was just, you know, the very eccentric daughter of John Voight, who was breaking into movies, turning in incredibly interesting work, you know, pushing against stereotypes, pushing against conventions in films like Gia and Girl Interrupted. And just really at the time, she was a lot more present in society for her antics than she was her films. And I do think for a lot of her career, that remains that way. You know, obviously, people, I think every single person can tell you the story of Jennifer Aniston, Brad Pitt, and Angelina much easier than they can say maybe the plot of some of her films.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
She has, I think it really shouldn't be discounted what she's been able to do with her her film career. Not just, you know, the big action films she's turned in, like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Wanted, and Salt. Really, I think a leading woman in a time when really none exists like her, just unparalleled, her ability to just carry the screen and carry that sort of a really a plotless, dialogue-less project. Tomb Raider is the same. Her screen presence is unparalleled and really deserves credit in and of itself. But then, it's, you know, later in her career, doing things like A Mighty Heart, Changeling, for which she was nominated for Best Actress, and even, I think, elevating the Maleficent movies, which I really like and think she's doing interesting things there, as well as her directing in The Land of Blood and Honey, Unbroken, First They Killed My Father, and not to mention her personal work for the UNHCR and her, you know, myriad initiatives in terms of humanitarian causes. I really think that she is a fascinating, multifaceted, multi-layered person who it's impossible to define in any one way.
I mean, as she matures, as she ages, do you think we're going to see more interesting roles coming from Angelina Jolie?
Yeah, but I think also she has a different energy now than she did then. You know, who she was earlier in her career, although maybe her aura leverages who she was, she's a much different actress now. I think that she comes off a bit more sensitive on screen, and she can play into that. You know, she can play into, you know, she can project weakness in a way, in a more interesting way, even though she's, of course, not weak. She can lean into that in a way that her, because of just the immense power that she exhibited early in her career, she wasn't. So I think that we have already started getting more interesting roles where she's able to balance that strength and that sensitivity. And I'm really curious to see where she takes that next.
Excellent. So, well, happy birthday, Angelina Jolie. I know you listen all the time to The Night Shift. Now, just want to touch on something that came up yesterday, the fact that they're hoping to get the Tom Cruise movie Mission Impossible back filming by September. Are there rumblings now in the movie industry that people are wanting to get back on set and that cameras might start rolling again?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. There were also reports this week, that out of Italy that the virus is getting less potent. It's mutating in different ways and hopefully for the better. And, I mean, obviously it's been a very fluid situation, but it does seem, as we've seen here, as we've seen in other places, it has seemed like we're moving in the right direction and we're moving towards opening things up. So Mission Impossible might be the first one to open that door, but as soon as one starts it, it's going to be a flood of projects starting up again. And keep in mind, it's not just one Mission Impossible. They're filming the next two back-to-back, so we have plenty of big Tom Cruise action to come.
Finally, anything you can point me in the right direction to watch this weekend? I finished my Alfred Hitchcock, so what would you recommend? Anything on Netflix, maybe?
I mean, I do want you to see The Sweet Smell of Success. I do think that is a very fun film. But I think in the spirit of the times, Spike Lee has a film coming out next week that I'm really excited to see. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't vouch for it. So that's what I'm most excited about. And if you haven't seen, Do the Right Thing, now is the time to watch Do the Right Thing.
I will do the right thing, and I shall watch it. William Mullally, always a pleasure to have you on the show, and we'll catch you again next week.
Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.